Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Born to love.
Yeah.
That's it.
Part of the theme song is instrumental, and part of it is sung by Ellie Kemper. And every single time, it's better and better. It doesn't get any better than that because we're live. This is our first live taping. Here in New York City.
Live in New York City at the Hard Rock Hotel.
The Hard Rock Hotel. Oh, my God.
You guys, Scott, New York City, I hope everyone had a great week. It's been a crazy week. Scott, was there anything from the week specifically that you loved?
Ellie, there was.
Okay.
Because the thing is, I live in Los Angeles, so I had to come out here for this taping.
Sure.
Been in New York for a couple of days now. Brought my family. We may have made a mistake. On Friday night, we took them to see Back to the Future, the musical. Last night, we went to see Harry Potter. And tonight, they're coming to this show. So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to live to that.
We're going to deliver it.
But here's what I loved. And I didn't expect to love this, Ellie.
Sure.
Watching ice skating. When's the last time you and I... We went to Rockefeller Center, guys. We paid $1 million to skate in Rockefeller Center.
Yes!
And is there an experience in life where there's so much joy is derived from eating? Everybody's falling down constantly.
For a second, Scott, I thought you meant you were like consuming Fritos as you watched the people skate.
That's not far from the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was watching everyone else.
You were watching everyone else, but you said eating, right?
No, I meant falling down.
Apologies to your... He does not normally talk that way. He should not be talking in front of your children. But you mean watching them... It's the mom in me. Watching them fall. Watching people fall.
Everybody falls. I mean, practically everybody. There's 10% of people who are awesome at it.
Yeah.
And they've never been happier.
Right.
They're just zooming around, stopping, skidding.
Yep.
They're impressed with themselves. And guess what? I'm impressed with them too.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yep.
Everybody else falling on their ass relentlessly. And loving it. Ellie.
Yeah.
Can you ice skate?
I'm not bad at ice. I was waiting for you to ask. I am sort of like good at ice skating.
I expected that, and I expected you to be very proud of it. Are you the one who's like skidding around?
Skating around? I'm
skidding.
In the 10%. No, I'm in the 10%. I'm good out there. I'm very good at rollerblading. It's funny you brought this up because I was like every young person, semi-obsessed with the Winter Olympics and watching the figure skaters. Chrissy Yamaguchi is
yes.
who we're thinking of. Yes.
She was the
best. We got big Chrissy Yamaguchi audience tonight. Did you do this? It's so delusional, but I thought, if only I had been out in the rink, I too could have grown to that level. I could have gotten to the ranks of professional skater.
So what do you think went wrong? What would you need to, like, if you Back to the Future did, if you were in the DeLorean and you went back, what's the one change it would have taken for you to have been an Olympic figure skater?
One ice skating lesson. Yeah, I would have begun to take an ice skate because I just went skating at parties, but I thought I was very good at it.
And Ellie, it's more than just a love. I'll tell you the truth. It was a little bit of a life lesson.
Tell me.
Because they were on the ice. I think that's what you say.
Yeah.
My two children, they're on the ice for a full hour.
Oof.
They fell about 60 times.
Jenny.
And you may hear my daughter.
That's, yep.
And guess what? By the end of that hour, they could skate.
Oh!
So, I was very impressed. My daughter kept falling. My son fell on his butt. My daughter kept falling on her knees.
Oof.
Which seems like it would hurt a lot more. And every time she would skate by, I'd be like, "Hi, you having fun? You having fun?" And she'd go, "I hurt my knee really bad when I'm having fun." And then by the end, she hurt her knee so badly, she was just streaming tears. But we were like, "Do you want to go again?" She's like, "Yes, yes, definitely."
Oh,
and
champion.
If that isn't the way to approach life, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is. When you fall down, of course you have to get back up. That's exactly what Jenny and Jack did. I envy that they had that experience today. It teaches resilience. It teaches resolve. And those two children are personifying that.
I hope so. Yeah.
I
was there
so.
Anything this week that you loved, Ellie?
You know what? My four-year-old had a cold all week. I was not expecting to talk about it, but here I'm revealing he had a cold. And he was home from school all week. And that change, while at first I was, oh, now I got to reschedule everything, then it was just like the pandemic. Suddenly you're home with children spending time that you didn't expect to spend together. So it was nice.
I don't want to jump the gun on things that we love or don't, but how do you feel about being sick yourself?
Oh.
I'm talking a mild cold.
Yeah, I think you know I love it.
Who doesn't in their heart love a mild cold?
And you mean, is it mild enough that you are at home and you can cancel events because
of
it?
It's exactly mild enough for it to be an excuse for you to get out of anything you don't want to do.
Absolutely. Just enough to keep you out of commission, which is great.
Yeah. No, just an excuse to stay in bed and like have other people make food for you and watch TV and streaming. That's like what I desire.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. Do you ever try to catch a cold from someone? Like,
no, I haven't. Like the chicken pox strategy?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Maybe I should try that.
Oh, you might try.
Have you tried it?
Well, leading up to weddings that I didn't want to attend, you know, suddenly it's like, oh, I don't like sidle up to people on the subway. But if someone I know who's close to me has a cold, I don't not stand near them or kiss them.
Have you ever faked a cold?
Faked an actual cold.
To get out of something.
No, but do you...
No, I don't believe it for a second.
Well, no, but do you mean like texted, "I'm feeling under the weather," or do you mean like talking like you have a cold?
Well, now the fact that you had such felicity talking like that, I think you've definitely done it.
But remember, I'm an actor, Scott. I can disappear into my cold characters like that. Do you have a sandwich? Sorry, that's me with a cold asking for a sandwich. Do you have a sandwich I could have?
That seems like a pretty unconvincing... You had me until the sneeze.
No, I've never... Have you?
I faked a cold. Well, probably all the time. I mean, come on. I mean, in my 20s, every hangover was a cold.
Yeah, right.
I have a vivid memory. Now, kids, plug your ears. I had a vivid memory of when I was probably 10 and I tried to fake. I had a cold, but then I got better and I didn't want anyone to know that I was better and I didn't want to go to school. And I have this vivid memory of laying in my parents' bed and they gave me the glass thermometer and it was under my tongue. And as soon as they left the room, I like put it up against the light bulb. And I was like, oh, it's going to heat up this thermometer. It took me years to realize that my mouth is certainly warmer than like the surface of a light bulb.
News to me. I didn't know that.
I tried it. And then my dad walked in and he caught me red-handed. And never in my life have I ever been caught so red-handed doing anything.
Oh, he saw you actually holding the thermometer up to the bulb?
It was supposed to be in my mouth and he saw me touching it to the light bulb. And I was just like, Yeah.
I was on the phone once talking to Layla Merrill, and I was, what a dork shiver. I was quoting Ferris
Bueller.
Wait,
what a what? A dork?
Dork shiver. When something's so dorky that you just shiver because of it. It was major dork shivers. Ooh. And I was talking to Layla Merrill, but I was quoting Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and now I can't remember exactly what, but it was like, when he's talking about faking being sick, and I was talking about that to Layla, but my mom was also on the line. I guess she just didn't hang up after I called. Ooh. So she thought I was faking being sick. This story is coming back to me as I'm telling it, which is why it's not fully making sense.
Your mom was snooping on you, and yes, they misunderstood the snooping. What was your punishment?
I guess I was sick. And so she was like, are you actually sick? The punishment was nothing. The punishment was, tell me the truth, or I don't know, you'll go to hell. I don't know.
That's always the punishment with Catholics, punishment, right? At the end of the day.
Speaking of no punishments, this is our segue always. We say the last word that we just said, and then we say, speaking of joy.
Right. Okay. Speaking of life lessons, we're going to bring on someone outstanding who's going to teach us a whole bunch of life lessons.
Yes, I hope so.
She's a brilliant, hilarious comedian, Sam Jay. She's an Emmy-nominated writer, stand-up actor, and producer. Sam wrote for Saturday Night Live before creating and starring in her own television comedies, Pause with Sam Jay, and also Bust Down. Her first HBO comedy special, Sam Jay, Salute Me or Shoot Me, came out this fall and is available to stream on Max. She also stars in the hit Netflix movie, You People. And Sam is here to talk about her love of TV sitcoms. Let's give Sam a big warm welcome.
Welcome, Sam. Thank you so much for being here.
There's a lot more swearing on this show than I expected.
Oh, I'm relieved. Yeah. I know that was actually.
There was never much swearing until I came on stage, which is ironic.
Which is also shocking.
Since my children are in the audience.
But you were in New York. You usually live in Los Angeles. You felt like, I don't know, gritty New York City. Ooh. You just had to like
get a little
start
get
swearing.
Some swears
off. Yeah, exactly right. My mom's listening. She's like, and now you're going to. No, we are Catholic, but I'm not going to because I said it.
I went to Catholic school.
Oh, see, you yeah. did. Mm-hmm. I thought that you did.
I did.
Are you still?
I'm from Boston. I went to Catholic school from the time I was in like kindergarten until eighth grade when I graduated. I couldn't go to any. I was so bad. I was very bad. I was a bad kid.
What did you do?
I used to mess with the nuns and just disrupt the system.
Okay.
And I became like notorious within the Catholic community.
Yep.
And so I was going to go to this Catholic high school. I went for the interview and they were like, yeah, we know who you are.
Oh my
and we're
gosh.
Waiting for you. And I was like, oh no, I can't go there. So then I was like, maybe St. Mark's. And I got the same response. And so I kind of like was blacklisted from the Catholic school network of Boston. And I ended up having to go to like a suburban public school.
Wait, it happened. So it clearly was possible. Can you name a few of the
pranks? I used to do a lot of stuff. I was just like inquisitive, but I would purposely like push the priest
sure.
like, and stuff like that. You know, you had religion classes. Did you go to Catholic school?
So, I didn't go to Catholic school. But I did go to Sunday school.
Okay.
So, once
a week. Every week in Catholic school, you have religion and like every week you have a religion book and you do like, it's like religion workbook. It's really dumb when you think about it. It's like Jesus died on A, the cross, B, a rock. C, a spaceship. And you're like, the cross, you know what I mean? It's stupid. But we were in religion class and the priest came and he was talking about the disciples and how they could only be men. And I was like, why? And then he was like, because. And I was like, well, what if it's a trans man? And the priest did not like that. So I got in trouble for that.
Yes.
I used to like go into the church and I would dip my hand in the holy water and I'd act like it burnt me. I used to just do stuff.
Did anyone laugh? Like, that's funny.
The kids would laugh.
The kids would laugh. But the nuns would not laugh.
They would not laugh. I also wouldn't confess, and they didn't like that. Like, they would make me go to confession, and I'd be like, I don't have nothing to say. And they knew I was bad. They were like, you do have things. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm fine with all my decisions, actually.
They're like confessing for you. They're like, well, what about the time? You're like, yeah, that happened. That was fine. I would make up things in confession so I didn't sound as bad as... I mean, my things were not...
I wasn't like pulling pranks, but anything that I did do, as I started to say it, I was like, oh, that sounds like a bad thing
to
do.
You would edit it.
Yeah, I would edit it as I was going. So it was like only half a sin. You're not, have you been to confession?
No, I've never been to confession.
One time, this is so crazy, right? So, you know, you go in the box and you can't see him and he can't see you. And that's the way to make it easier. But I wouldn't say anything. So they made me like meet with him in the... in the rectory so he could like face me because they were trying to break me and he was and he's like, do you still have nothing to say? And I was like, no, I don't have nothing.
So are you a practicing Catholic now?
No.
Ellie said that, and I don't know if you can see that, with just the subtlest edge. So, are you one of the...
As someone who is raising her two boys Catholic, I'm like, can we bring you back? Okay, first of all, I'm still impressed by just the Boston Archdiocese having it together enough to be like, do not let her into our Catholic schools.
Really?
But they were organized.
It was the best for both of us.
Yeah, exactly right. It was mutual.
At the end of the day.
What is it? A conscious uncoupling. Sam, sitcoms.
Yeah.
What do you love about them?
I love TV.
Yeah.
One, I'm just like a TV head, kind of raised in front of the TV.
Yep.
By my choice. Like, I used to tell time by the television. Like,
yep.
I knew what time it was by what was on TV.
Right.
One of those kids. So I like all types of TV, but sitcoms, they just feel good.
Yeah.
Even when you know the laughs are coming and you
yep.
know when, you know, it's setting you up to laugh, when you do get that release, it still just feels so good. And there's something so just basic humanity about it. It's
mm-hmm.
just like, these are our real drivers. We just like, we want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have friends.
Yep.
And it really just hits our core.
Yep.
And that's why I love them. They're great.
I kind of think like the more formulaic, almost the better, because that's the comfort.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's like, you know, when you can like feel
yeah,
the build
up. Yeah, it's like Married with Children and like, you know, Al Bundy flushing the toilet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, you know when he's going to flush it, and you know but you laugh
yep.
every time, and you're like, yeah, he flushed it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. What were some of your favorite sitcoms growing up?
I watched so much television. I liked Small Wonder a lot as a kid.
Yes.
Hold up. Small Wonder, is that
back.
The one with the little baby robot?
Yes.
She wasn't a baby. She was a teen, preteen.
Okay, preteen.
Yeah, I would say a strong 11. Vicky the Robot was at least 11 years old.
All right.
Did you watch it?
I watched it enough to know that it's about a child robot.
It's about a child robot that the father built, and then he brings it home, and he has a son around Vicky's age, and then they become like friends. But it's about like this robot processing all this like regular preteen stuff. Like, they try to get her to join a gang and smoke cigarettes. It's like, what is Vicky going to do? Is she going to join the gang? You know, like, they would just keep putting her.
That's a very strong 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a girl gang. You don't remember that episode? It was a girl gang. They all wore leather jackets and they smoked after school. And then Vicky got down with them and she was smoking after school.
What is that actress doing now? Do we know?
Vicky?
Yeah. She wasn't really...
That was really AI.
Was she a robot?
No, I don't know. It was kind of whack that they would put her in the closet at the end of the night, though. I really never liked that.
No.
You know, you
yes,
remember that?
I
like,
vaguely
they would
remember
put her
that.
In the closet,
yep.
like, bedtime, Vicky. And it was
yep.
like, that's kind of messed up.
Yep.
You can leave her out in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Like, she's not.
She doesn't. Was she charging in there or no?
They would kind of like put her in sleep mode and she'd
yeah.
go like, mm-hmm.
yes,
and then they would like, put her in the closet.
And then did they communicate?
Like a vacuum, you know?
Right. Did they communicate with that pyramid? Is that what it was? They would talk
oh,
to
no, that you're talking about another one of my
See,
favorites,
that's which one?
Out of This World.
Oh.
That was the one where the girl's father was an alien. He
oh,
lived on another planet. And she communicated with him through that pyramid.
Yeah.
How her and her mother had sex, they never explained. But they never told us really how. Like, she just kind of came from space. I don't know.
Yeah.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The holidays have arrived early this year. Why wait until fall when you can get Black Friday prices now during Blinds.com's annual Spring Black Friday sale? Blinds.com's the better way to get custom window treatments totally online. No waiting around all day for salespeople to show up or dealing with inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters, motorized options. We have your patio covered for spring too. And Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home. We'll even send free samples. You can even get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Plus, free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now for the best deals of the season. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That is the premises of the show, because now I'm thinking of Alf and all the...
That's another one I love.
That's another, yeah.
White family adopts strange creature is one of my favorite genres of sitcom. Actually, I like Alf. I like Harry and the Henderson. Like, white family takes on thing you shouldn't let live in your house. I like.
I have a question about Small Wonder. I don't want to bring it back to Vicky necessarily. Is Vicky masquerading as a regular child, or is everybody aware that she's a robot?
I think the family only knows. I don't clearly remember, but I feel like when she would go to school, people just thought she was another little girl, and that was the whole deal. But the family knew, like, she was a robot. Because the smoking episode, that's why they freaked out, because it was going to mess up her motherboard. It wasn't, but like...
It was fine if she was a regular 11-year-old
girl. This is going to, like, mess you up as a robot. You know what I mean? So, no, like, the people didn't know.
Yep.
Right.
She did wear the same thing every day.
That's what I was just... She was a red dress.
A red dress, right? With, like, a little doily-looking thing over top.
Yep. So why that?
Never changed.
Yeah. Do we know the reason for that?
Because they only had one outfit for the robot.
Yeah.
They didn't think about multiple outfits.
Yep.
Because it was a guy who made the robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was the outfit a part of her? Was she built? Was that just her exterior? Or
no,
could
no, no,
she,
she had
be
skin
removed?
And stuff, because they would have to take her outfit off sometimes to fix her, like if something would go wrong. Mm.
I remember watching.
I like that there are people getting educated about this. They're like,
they're
yeah,
like, yes. That makes well, sense. There was that.
It would make sense to take the outfit off.
As time has passed, I feel like Golden Girls reached a level yeah. of like new appreciation. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but it was like, I watched it when it was on. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
did you really enjoy it as I did?
It was fine. I was like really like, I was like a kid. I didn't like old people stuff. Like if it was old, I didn't want like, I didn't want to see it. It was like, get it out my face. I'm a kid. Give me kids TV. Like I would check, like, is this kids programming? And if it's not, I don't want to watch it. It's got to be about me.
Yep.
We were like the first generation that grew up in that Nickelodeon era where right. there was a whole like channel kind of like, this is all for you 24/7. Yep. So I kind of was like, yeah, what do I need to be watching old people talk?
Right, right.
I could watch Clarissa Explains It All or like, Hey Dude or something. Yeah. You know, like, I don't need to be watching these old right. ladies talk. But sometimes when I hang out with my mom, I don't know, like, I like Designing Women. That was like one that I liked watching
oh,
with my
wow.
mom.
Wow, I never watched that show.
You never watched Designing
no.
Women?
No. I warned you ahead of time. I was like, now there will be a lot of stuff that I
yeah,
won't know about
because
I'm like
that.
An alien visiting Earth. And
Designing Women was awesome.
Yeah.
Was Designing Women on around Murphy Brown?
Yes.
Because
and I used to watch Murphy Brown.
My parents were reporters and they just loved Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown.
And then Murphy Brown like made a joke about Dan Quayle or something.
Yep.
And then it was a national scandal.
It was.
Wow.
I loved when TV mattered that much.
Oh, I know.
I loved when a sitcom mattered that much. Like you can make like a political statement and it would be everywhere the next day. There's just so much stuff to watch now that sometimes stuff feels less special. Like it used to be like to be continued and you'd be like, oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait till next week, man. Really, I missed that.
But I do remember that. And then you had to wait and the joy of having to wait a week for that. Designing women, were they designers?
They were interior designers.
They were all
So they had a firm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, in the South. Yeah, you missed out, baby. Doesn't this sound amazing?
Yeah. No, it does sound really good. You wouldn't have watched this. I watched a lot of Empty Nest.
I did watch Empty Nest. You don't know my life. I did watch Empty Nest. I like that guy.
Okay, and also just the 10 of us?
No, that was too white. I was like, I don't care.
And there was no like adoptee.
Yeah, I didn't care about that. But I did do like Party of Five, you know?
I never watched Party of Five. I never watched Party of Five. I told you. So what I watched growing up.
What were you doing?
This is the question I always have for my parents.
We were all in love with Bailey at one point, and that's what we were doing as a country.
Yeah. Are you going to create a sitcom, do you think?
Ever? I hope
so. Is that something, is that on the
list?
That's
something I want to do for sure. I want to make a network sitcom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. I feel like it is so mysterious to me what keeps something on air and what doesn't. Because I always, my like one example of something that I watched growing up, which was Seinfeld. Mm. And I always thought like that is so unlikely that that would have captured enough viewers, right? Because it's four individuals on the Upper West Side of New York City. Like, why would we all watch that across America? But we did. You never know what's going to like resonate.
Yeah,
we didn't
really like Seinfeld. We just didn't have shit else to do.
We had nothing else. I was like, it's Thursday, so okay, I guess so. I don't know how old you are, but did you watch Family Ties?
Yes, I'm a Michael J. Fox fan.
Yeah.
I was down with anything. Michael J. Fox, when I was younger and I thought I liked boys, I had like a run where I was just like in love with all those like white boys that looked like that. I don't know what was going on with me, but I was like in love with Fred Savage. I was in love with Ricky Schroeder. I was in love with Michael J. Fox. Like I was like being like a little Tiger Beat idiot for a while.
Did you watch 90210?
Absolutely.
Okay.
From beginning to end.
Yep.
Me and my friend we boycotted it at one point. We took like 4 weeks off because we were mad that Donna didn't lose her virginity to David. We were like, this is a conspiracy by Aaron Spelling. He doesn't want his daughter to lose her virginity on TV or whatever. We're done with this. And we didn't watch for like 4 weeks. We were like, no, this show was unrealistic. Because we wanted Donna to give it up. We were like 11. We were like livid about it. We had to be like 11, 12. We were like pissed. I remember that. We were very upset.
Well, I have to ask, because now I guess the strike's over. We can talk about anything we want, but I have to ask. I love that. We keep cheering for the strike.
We should do Halloween over again so we can wear the costumes
right?
we want.
Well, can I ask what you're watching now?
My fiance is much like you, and there's about 10 years of her life where she did not watch TV at all.
Okay.
Like when I met her, she didn't have a TV in her apartment. Yeah. She just read books and like listened to music like a dork. But now this is like our first time consistently living together.
Yep.
And I have a TV in every room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now she's like a TV junkie. I feel kind of bad. I feel like I hooked her on a drug. You know? I do. Sometimes I see her and she's been in front of it all day and I'm like, I did something awful. She was so much better without this. But she has never seen Scandal. So she, I know, right? That's how I felt. So she's been watching Scandal and I'm so jealous because one, she doesn't have to deal with the commercials and she doesn't have to wait weekly. So she's like powering through it. But it's been fun because she'll just blow up my phone all day. She'll be like, what? Jake, I hate him now. I love Fitz. Oh my God, they stole Olivia. And I'm like, she is having the time of her life. You know what I mean?
Scandal's phenomenal. The thing about Scandal is that when you thought that it could not top itself, it did.
Scandal.
Again and again and again and again. How many assassination attempts were in that show?
And I cared every time. I cared every time.
Oh, you know it!
I was like, oh no, not this time. It's good. It's just good TV. Like, that's what good TV does. You know it's dumb. You're like, I don't care. This is all unrealistic, but get her back from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
She can't be there.
Well, the thing that was so, well, one of the things that I admire about the show is that it balanced those stakes with also just like, who's hooking up with who?
Yes. It was sexy.
It's that there's a show.
I wanted Jake and Olivia to be having sex all the time. And I was just like, have sex now. Why are you talking still? It was like.
Have you seen a show called Designated Survivor?
No, I haven't. Do they do the fast talking like Scandal? Like, you're going to think that you can do this tonight, but you cannot do this tonight because I came over here today to let you know that you will not be there tonight because the president actually has been moved to another location. Like, do they do that? Do they talk?
No, Designated Survivor is not nearly like as smart as Scandal.
It's
a pale imitation.
I like that fast talk real fast.
And no matter what they're saying.
No matter what goes
does
down.
Not matter the content of what they're saying. I just have to bring up something, which is you worked on Saturday Night Live for a while.
Three seasons.
Not a big deal. And you knew my husband's a writer and he worked there while you were there too. And my husband's name is Michael Komen.
Yeah.
And he's brother. And he adores you, of course.
I love Komen.
I do.
He's the best.
I mean, not that you haven't always loved him, but he has always loved you.
he's great.
Am I putting you on the spot if I ask you to tell
no,
about
okay. No, not at all.
Okay.
So her husband used to have this habit at work when we would get our residual checks. He would try to look at other people's checks. he would do this a lot. Like, we've caught him on several occasions. And, like, me and my friend Gary Richardson, who was my writing partner on the show, we would, like, really, like, be relentlessly, like, you have a problem and this is sick. Like, why are you doing this? Why do you need this? Like, what is wrong with you? And if you know Komen, he's a... I don't know how to explain his personality.
Strange.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not like a get in your way strange.
No, it's a quiet strange.
It's a quiet strange. And if you want to get it, you got to kind of rustle the leaves
correct.
A little bit to see like what's going on.
Yes.
And so he would just respond like, I just want to know. And we'd be like, what does that mean though, bro?
Right,
like,
right.
Why do you want to know?
Right.
And then he was leaving to pursue other endeavors. And me and Gary were like, yo, as a gift, we should take one of our residual checks. Because, you know, you digitally deposit them. And we should frame them. And we should give it to Komen as a parting gift. So we did that. We framed two checks. And we gave it to him. And he was truly so happy. Like, the reaction when he opened it and got to see... And he just smiled, and then he, like, held it. And I was like, this really mattered to him.
Yes.
So wait, was the joy the thoughtfulness of the gift, or was it finally knowing? Was the
We gave it to him not in a kind way. We were like, here, Komen, you sick.
Yes.
Get what you need out of this.
That's exactly right. And I don't know if it's like a curiosity of like, oh, what do other people, I don't know what's
behind
that.
No, he wants to know that he's making more money.
That's it.
That is all that it is. It is 100% that. Yep. He wants to be assured that he is making more money.
Yep. And he characterized that gift as the greatest gift he's ever received.
And you guys have a child.
And we have a child. We have two. So
you know what kind of man this is.
You win.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We're going to play a game that we always play on this show.
For sure.
It's called Love It or Loathe It. What we are going to do is give you several topics. You're going to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. There can be no in between. There's no gray area here, okay? You're all in or you're all out. All
right, and there's a very special twist to this edition of Love It or Loathe It. All of these Love It or Loathe It topics have been suggested by the audience.
Okay, Sam, this one's from Nikki. Love it or loathe it, auditions.
Loathe it.
Why?
I'm so bad at them. Bad at auditioning. I'm so uncomfortable. It's so weird and awkward. I don't know what to do with myself. I've never successfully done an audition.
No, that has to be, you're a hugely successful comedian.
I promise you.
Now, did you audition as a performer for Saturday Night Live, or did you?
I auditioned. You always a writer? I auditioned as a performer, and then I got a writing job because that's how I auditioned.
What was your
bad?
Well, I also auditioned for Saturday Night Live, and I did not get offered a writer job. So, well done. Wait, what did you do as your impressions for Saturday Night Live?
I didn't do any, but they knew I wasn't going to do any.
Oh,
because I don't do impressions. I just did stand up. It wasn't bad. It was pretty good.
I think you love auditions.
I don't. No, I hate auditions. I like every time I've gone to an acting audition,
it's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and it's artificial because you're like
so
in a room.
Weird.
Also,
like the lady in the room is mean. That lady is mean, bro. I've never had a nice one of them camera lady people that just are there for you to do it in front of. They all been mean as hell.
And like, why? Don't they want the best product?
Right. It's like they automatically take you out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like mean, like the Matilda lady mean. Yo, for real, real quick. I went to an audition once for a cartoon called Craig in the Creek that's actually out on Cartoon Network. And I was supposed to be Craig, and he's like a 7-year-old boy or whatever. And I go in and read the voice, and they're like, "You did great, Sam. This is awesome." And then I walk out, and there's a 7-year-old boy sitting in the lobby. And I'm like, "Why did you play this game with me? Like, what sense? What the hell are you doing? You have adults competing with 7-year-old kids for the role of a 7-year-old kid? That's so crazy." Because now I'm like, "I hope this kid don't get it." It's like, I don't need to be thinking that about a child, bro. That's nuts. That's the game. That's the game, you know? Like, no, man. I don't like that.
Love it or loathe it, Sam. Suggested by Molly out in the audience. Gazpacho.
Oh, wow.
It's a chilled soup, I think, from Spain.
Is it always tomato?
I don't know.
Love it or loathe it, Sam. You got to pick
one. No, I loathe it. I loathe it.
Oh, you do loathe it.
I don't like soup.
I hate soup.
Hell yeah.
I don't, even when I'm sick.
I don't
even
like soup. I don't want it. My fiance doesn't get it. She's because she loves soup. So
what
she's
is she?
Always trying to like put some soup on me. I'm like, I don't want it.
I feel sick after having soup.
I don't
soup.
Like soup. It's just like, it's just a big bowl of hot stuff.
I know.
Like, I don't want this.
There was one bowl of soup I liked, and it was matzo ball soup when I had COVID. And that like healed me from the inside out. It was the bone broth.
I got my one soup too.
What is it?
It's like a coconut curry like soup.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's the only soup I like.
Yeah. But no, otherwise it takes so long.
First of all, I don't like hot food. I like my food to be room temperature.
So does Michael Coleman.
I don't like to eat my food hot.
Yeah.
So it's just like labor to eat soup. It's
I know. And the worst is when you are already sick and you're told to eat chicken noodle soup and it's like repulsive to you. And they claim it's fine.
But you have to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And worse than that, a chilled soup. No.
Just sounds crazy.
Chilled soup seems awful.
It seems like, why are we even playing soup games?
No, exactly.
No, take
a
bad thing, make it worse.
I think we all agree that we loathe gazpacho. Sorry, Molly.
Sorry, Molly. Ooh, I hope she's a loather. Sam, love it or loathe it. This is from Zoe, Star Wars.
Love it. This is people who know the stuff I like. It's got to be.
You're a big Star Wars fan?
Yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
I knew you were a Star Wars fan.
Because I like space stories, but just not nerdy Star Trek ones. I like cool ones.
Sorry.
Like cool space stories.
Yeah.
But what makes Star Trek nerdy and Star Wars cool?
Star Wars is cool. It's like, hey, there's a battle going on in space for people's humanity and souls. We're going to get it in and cut people's heads off with swords, shoot people, steal babies, do what we got to do. And then Star Trek is just like science, 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 science.
Yes, yes.
Science, 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 science. Yep. One slow-ass fight. Science.
Fair enough. All right, I'll take that. I'll take that. All right, last one, Sam. Love It or Loathe It, suggested by Jenny, who I suspect is my daughter but don't know. Ooh. Cowboys.
Oh, I like this one. It's a complicated one, Jenny.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't like good cowboys. Like, I'm not like a Clint Eastwood or...
Oh.
Yeah, like, I don't like a good cowboy that's like, I'm just here to do righteous stuff.
Right.
I like a bandit, but bandits could still be cowboys.
Yes, yeah.
So, I love it.
Okay, good.
Love cowboys.
Yeah!
You won the game.
Yay.
Sam. Sam. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
Here. Is there anything that you want to promote while you're...
I have a special out on HBO. It's called Salute Me or Shoot Me. You should check it out. It's
so
fun.
Good.
You can stream it on Max. And that's it.
Yep. Sam J, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.